This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry, and I'm just the host of this show, the talking head bobbing above a much richer conversation going on all around me. And we're dedicating this show to that conversation, the things you have told us that have extended and deepened our understanding. We're so thankful for your ideas and inspirations each day that we're dedicating today's hour entirely to you. Today, The Takeaway is you. You've added so much to so many of our conversations this hour. What you've done to enlarge our understanding of humor, you'll hear about that, disability, the military experience, and what it means to be vulnerable. We begin with the idea of identity. It was raised by former Secretary of State Madeleine Albright back in May. Albright didn't realize the complexity of her own family background, she told us, until she was 59 years old. After being raised a Christian all her life, in 1997, Albright discovered that most of her family was Jewish, and that many of her relatives perished in the Holocaust.
Well, I've kind of always been conscious, you know, that I was an immigrant who came to America from a small country in Central Europe that was very proud of being the only democracy in Central Europe during the interwar period. And my identity was as an immigrant, somebody who was raised Catholic, became an Episcopalian, and then only in end of 1996, 97, did I find out about my Jewish heritage, and then in early 97 about the fact that so many of my relatives died in concentration camps. I mean, one of the hard things in terms of an identity issue is you never quite know which part of your life has created your identity. And since I was 59 when I found out about the Jewish identity, and I had been already ambassador of the United Nations, and before that I'd worked for Senator Muskie and in the Carter administration and taught, so I had a lot of life behind me. But my parents, I saw always as Czechoslovak patriots who had a very interesting time in which they came of age, which was when this country that had not existed before 1918 became a republic and modeled itself in many ways on the United States, that they were coming of age as people who saw themselves as Czechoslovaks. And then this little country was dependent on the West in every single way. And I'm sad to say the West let it down. The British and French, tired from World War I, did not do anything to stop Hitler, whose plan it was to absorb Czechoslovakia. And I do think that that informed me in many different ways. And because life is so totally peculiar, the idea that I was first U.N. ambassador and secretary of state when issues in the Balkans were high on the agenda, that my father had been ambassador there and I understood it. And then a phrase that always stuck in my mind was that when Chamberlain said, "Why do we care about a faraway place with unpronounceable names?" That described the former Yugoslavia in many ways. And so I can't tell you how proud I was to be somebody that had the opportunity to influence the goodness of American power and not to be arrogant about it.
Albright said that revelation changed the way she thought about herself, and it motivated listener Lauren Levinson to share her own story that was an even deeper identity shift than Albright's. Lauren was raised her whole life adopted in a Jewish household, but as an adult learned she was an adopted baby sold on the black market, and that her birth father was Muslim and her birth mother was a born-again Christian.
My perception of the world was completely blown out of the water. And looking at religion and looking at race and the stereotypes we have and the prejudices, and I'm a liberal New Yorker, I have no prejudice, and of course I discovered that I had some. Really makes me wonder if this story can contribute to our national conversation about how we approach race and religion in America.
Well, let's get into the details of the story. I mean, in many ways, you were hearing a conversation that we were having and you said, "Hey, this is my story." This being turned upside down and mm-hmm. being confronted by your own prejudices and your identity at the same mm-hmm. time is what I've lived. And it's because you discovered what about yourself?
It's because I discovered that I was born to a family that was predominantly Pakistani Muslim and with a Christian on the maternal side. And stolen and sold on the black market. And that aspect of being stolen and sold and raised Jewish and pretty religious Jewish makes me question what are my roots. And what struck me about your conversation with Madam Secretary was that when she discovered that she had Jewish roots and that religion difference is what struck me of why I put that comment in at the time.
And Madeleine Albright discovered that her Jewish background both informed and confirmed things about her that she already knew. And she describes that in her book, and it's a really, really powerful story. You have the sort of opposite transformation in the sense that you're raised Jewish,
mm-hmm.
thinking that you're as Jewish as they come, and all
right.
of a sudden you discover that, in fact, your roots are, we won't say opposite, but about as far as you could have imagined being different from the background that you were raised in.
But it's not even just that my roots were different. There was a family that was looking for me for 35 years. So when I went back, it was almost as if you can imagine, especially when we're approaching Thanksgiving, you have that table, you know, those of us who have it together, they'll set it the night before. There was a place at the table. You know, one of my brother's phones, I'm still Sarah, even though that's not my name. So it's not even just, oh, I have this connection biologically. It's, they're my family. And so it's suddenly like that alternate universe that I could step into. So it's incredibly powerful. And being adopted, feeling a different connection immediately with my biological family. So now I know where my sense of humor comes from. Now I know where so much comes from that I didn't know, which is classic in a lot of adoption experiences. So it's just all of this stuff.
And are the religions in this particular case the roots of your identity, or are they a part of the, you know, almost a more of a cosmetic piece? Are you Jewish, but you realize that deeper down maybe you're Muslim, or are you just Lauren and Sarah, and in one house you wear Jewish clothes and in another house you wear sort of Muslim apparel, psychologically speaking?
I'm always going to be Jewish because I have small children. And when you think about identity, it starts when you're a child. So I'm very protective of my children because I don't want them to have the confusion that I'm now experiencing. I am fascinated and don't have the answer to your questions, which your questions are really outstanding in the sense that I don't know what identity is. I would say, okay, we're finding our identity. Everyone grows up and they're finding their identity. College is often about that as well. But to me, identity, I'm learning that it's several choices all along the way. It's a composite. And so what is the if you were going to do a factor analysis, what's the weight of religion versus the weight of being a woman versus a professional versus a mother? And then I don't know yet.
Well, let's talk for a moment then about you have siblings, birth siblings,
mm-hmm.
who are Muslim who've maybe done the Hajj.
They have not.
They have not.
But we talked about it.
Really? So how does that discussion go?
Well, I say I want to go do Hajj.
You want to go do Hajj.
Totally. Are you kidding?
There we go.
I would love to. And the first thing my father said, if Israel's in your passport, you can't go. Which it's not. It's a new passport since I've been. I mean, I lived in Israel. I was bat mitzvah on Masada. Yeah, it's ridiculous. I so want to go to Pakistan. And I want to go with my father, and I want him to show me where I come from. And I want to take him to Israel and show him the amazing waffle ice cream place in Tel Aviv. It's really outstanding. Like
that not a lot of Pakistanis go to.
Yeah, no.
Right.
I don't think so.
Right.
I would love to do Hajj, and I would love to learn more. And I don't know how to do it.
Well, you know, maybe it comes back to your impulse to send us your story here.
Perhaps.
That it's about this community of people sharing stories that say identity is in flux, and that basically swimming in that flux is the process of finding peace, finding reconciliation, finding common ground. So your story of figuring out if you can eat the ice cream in Tel Aviv with your dad or go on the Hajj
mm-hmm.
is a small example of a much bigger story of can people get along.
Yeah, and the one reason, and when I set up my blog, which, you know, I have this title that my father hates of Moses and Muhammad walk into a bar. He's like, why can't it be a coffee shop? And I'm like, that's not the joke. And so there are also these cultural differences.
Alcohol is haram, you know.
And so, but I have in there, I was like, I want to hear the politically incorrect questions because I have people I can ask that they know I'm coming from a good place. When I saw the people around Park 51 doing their press conferences in their traditional clothes, it drove me nuts. I'm like, no one understands it. You're not gendering comfort and you're not bringing people in. And we're in America and we all have to come to the table. So that's why I am trying to share my story, because until we ask those questions, there's always going to be fear.
Why are you not afraid of what the answers will be? Why are you not afraid of your birth family and what they might think of you? Why were you so willing to make yourself vulnerable to basically show up and say, here I am?
It never occurred to me to be afraid. But when I called, the love that they all gave me from the beginning is astounding. Every single one of my uncles, which there are six of them, which still blows my mind. Every time they see me, touch me in some way, my hair, or make sure they touch my hand or something. I mean, the love. And it doesn't matter that I'm a Jewish woman, which is incredible. And if that is at the core of religious, traditional American Muslims who were all born in Pakistan – and some were born in India and emigrated to Pakistan when it became a country, which I made the error of saying, well, aren't you Indian? And I kind of learned that that was a little bit of a mistake.
Lots to learn.
Lots to learn. But with that amount of love, how can you not feel safe?
A lot to be thankful for.
Tremendous amount to be thankful for.
Lauren Levinson, thanks so much.
Thank you so much for having
me. Listener Lauren Levinson there sharing the story of how learning her own roots has started a conversation of how we might all get along better. What does your identity or what you've learned about it say about how we get along in this multi-identity nation? Whatever your story, we want to hear it. Call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE or you can find us at facebook.com/thetakeaway. Coming up.
My father's first secretary was a dwarf with a terrible spinal deformity, and she told my father that she had applied for 1,500 jobs, and then my father hired her and said she was the best secretary he ever had. She worked for him for, I think, 15 years.
A story of one man's contribution to the history of rights for the disabled, told by his daughter, who reached out after listening to The Takeaway.
Since WNYC's first broadcast in 1924, we've been dedicated to creating the kind of content we know the world needs. Since then, New York Public Radio's rigorous journalism has gone on to win a Peabody Award and a DuPont Columbia Award, among others. In addition to this award-winning reporting, your sponsorship also supports inspiring storytelling and extraordinary music that is free and accessible to all. To get in touch and find out more, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.